not do does not exist. That's the first sentence. Now the second one, what God cannot fix does not exist. What God cannot fix does not exist. Now the third one, what God cannot solve does not exist. Those three things, what God cannot do, what God cannot fix, what God cannot solve does not exist. And we're going to put our hands on it. We're not writing down our problems. We're not writing down our issues. Because the Bible says, write out the vision. It didn't say write out the problem. We're written it out now and we're placing our hand on it. And for the next 30 seconds, I just want us to speak in tongues. I just want to speak in the language of the Holy Spirit. And just think of those issues, those things that are bothering you. Those things that are heavy in your heart. What God cannot do. Adibra nozi fanana na yakati brandose bede. Ekanya namboro bandidi zazuzi frani kandaria. What God cannot do. Erinya nozi pandati kendi brandosi fanara. Azuzi branana zupendi kalibara. In my life, what God azuzi anana ria padarobosh kezizizi. Mandara dizi kevrende borobosh. This is highly prophetic. And Azuzi. And Kazuzi. Now, as we're ministering, just continue to speak in tongues. As we're ministering, just continue to speak in tongues.
Thank you. believer.
We are
I want you to think of those issues now that are holding you down. Now you place your hands, can you pronounce
it?
Nothing is impossible. Yeah. This is the confidence. And when we call on you, this is the confidence. Sometimes we find ourselves in very difficult situations that are beyond our capacity. And some 20 years ago, I found myself in one of such situations. Our rent was due, and I collected money to pay in advance to my landlord. And to my surprise, when I got there, he said he was not ready to collect the rent that he wanted his house. And we were amazed. We didn't have any quarrel. We didn't have any situation. And he was very insistent. We sent people who knew him to go and talk to him in case he wanted to increase his rent. But he just said, no, we had to leave. We were so perplexed. We didn't know that somebody had gone to blackmail us to the landlord, that we were a security risk to the compound. Why? We leave home early in the morning to come for Good Morning Jesus. And then on Tuesdays and Fridays, we have discipleship center meetings in our house. And that was a threat to some people in the compound. And we cried to God and said, God, what do we do? We gathered some money to try to look for a new apartment. And of course, they needed 1 year, 2 years rent. Finally, we gathered the money, but we did not really find a place. And the expiry date was very near. And we cried to God. Then suddenly, one day, the landlord sent for me and said, okay, do you have your rent? I was shocked. I didn't know what he meant. I said, yes, we have our rent. He used to collect month on 6 monthly basis. I said, okay, now you can pay. I was wondering what happened. But gladly, I paid. And then God said, it's time to build your house. And because of that threat, we started building our house. Today, we live in our house. And in that house, there is freedom of worship. We have a fellowship, discipleship fellowship center in the house that meets Thursday, Friday. We have a neighborhood fellowship of all Christians in the neighborhood that meets there once a month with over 50, 60 people meeting each time without hindrance. What God cannot do does not exist. What God cannot do cannot exist. What God cannot do does not exist. Come on, say, we know.
We know.
We know.
We know.
You're a miracle worker.
We know.
You're a mountain mover.
done.
Are
you speaking? Arata bata kataka.
Emimimo.
Kata bata kata.
Emimimo.
Iyano askele. Malato begede. Zakopo ratatata. Right now,
we call unto you. We call unto you.
Ekete bekete. Bara. Bara. Bara.
Ato wa secret place.
Bara. Bara katata.
Banda sekete. Basokoto tutu.
Mana kata kata. Erada
Susu
Se Ara.
This is our confidence that when we call what you cannot do. What you cannot solve. Somebody say, what you cannot be,
what you cannot be,
what you cannot do,
what you cannot do,
what you cannot
do, what you cannot do, what you
Thank you. sons and daughter came forth, and while they are standing, sweet Holy Spirit, minister unto them by your power in the name of Jesus Christ. Bring a solution to those needs in our lives and in the life of every one of us this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your name that has always been glorified continually be glorified in our life and in our midst. We are here again to hear a word from you. Lord, speak to us from your throne of grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Ancient of Days. I bring myself under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Father, not I, but Christ alone shall be glorified. Take all the glory, take all the worship, take all honor, take adoration. Thank you, our Father, for in Jesus' most exalted name we are praying. I want us to sing this song together. I need a word from you. I need a word from you. I need a word from you, Father. We need to hear from you. What shall we do? What shall we do? We need a word from you. A word. We need to hear from you. What shall we do? What shall we do? What shall we do? I need a word from you. I need a exalted Father. Thank you because you are here already to ensure one thing, that Christ alone is glorified. Take all the glory, Father. Take all the worship. Take all honor. For in Jesus' name we are praying. I decided to title the time of exhortation this morning, Revive Us. Revive Us. And that's the theme for this year. And we know with God nothing is impossible. There is nothing God cannot do. Thank you, choir, the blessed choir, for ministering to us. We know there is nothing impossible with God. If He has spoken to us that is going to revive us, He meant it. He wants to revive us. And indeed, He is going to revive us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah 57 from verses 13 to 19. Isaiah 57. 13 through 19. Isaiah 57, 13 to 19. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that put his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inhabit my holy mountain. 14, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take all the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus says the high and lofty one, that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite an humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite one. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always rot. For the spirit shall not fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness have I wrought, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comfort unto him, and to his mourners. I created the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. God is interested in bringing revival unto the humble in spirit and one with a contrite heart. And we notice here in verse 13 of the scripture that we read that the children of Israel here were crying out for help. They were crying out for revival. So, when we are asking God for revival, what does that mean? We are asking God to help us to start afresh. When we are asking God for revival, we are saying, God, start with us afresh. Give unto us a new beginning. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, the Holy Ghost came upon the apostles when they tarried and waited upon him. And they went out to declare the counsel even of the Lord. And when he got to verse chapter 4, they were threatened, they were beaten. Bible says they returned back to their own company and they sought the face of God. In verse 31 of chapter 4, it reads, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, a fresh filling. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. In verse 33, and with great power gave the apostle the witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. So they were refreshed. God gave them a fresh start. They've been threatened, and that should have brought discouragement to their heart. But they were not discouraged because they cried out unto the Lord, and the Lord released upon them great grace. A fresh baptism came upon them. To be revived is also to give us a new life. Give us a new life. When we ask God to revive us, we are saying, give us a new life. Impart spiritual life into us. Breathe on us again. Breathe on us again. Make us alive again. Renew our zeal, our commitment, our consecration, our dedication, and our devotion unto you. Renew our zeal, O Lord. Renew our commitment to you. Renew our consecration unto you. Renew our dedication unto you. Renew our devotion unto you. And this can only happen when the Spirit of God breathes upon a man. So a new life will be given. Isaiah chapter 32 verse 16 says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness shall be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a garden, for a forest. A fruitful field be counted. Until the Spirit of God come upon us afresh, until we have a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, then we will be in the state of dryness, and things will continue the way it has been. But God forbid, for us as a ministry, things will not continue the way it has been in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be revived also means to restore or refresh our confidence and hope in God. To restore, refresh our confidence and hope in God. There's nothing impossible with Him. There's nothing God cannot do. What God cannot solve has not existed. So when we ask of Him, revival, revive us, our confidence, we are saying, let our confidence be renewed in you. Let our hope be renewed in you. David cried unto the Lord, Create in me the right spirit. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12 of Psalm 51. Restore unto me the joy of salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Grant unto me liberty in your spirit, that I may worship you in spirit and in truth, that I may worship you in holiness and in righteousness. And that's what God demands of you and of me. We need Him. We need that freshness even in the presence of the Lord. And that was why the children of Israel cried out in Isaiah chapter 54 verse 13. The Bible said they cried out unto the Lord to save them. But God could not save them. Why? God said, then go to your associates. Go to your companies. Whether they will deliver you. That means their cry never got to God. They acknowledged the fact that they needed help, but they could not receive the help that they need. The help was not coming unto them. The same thing in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 2. They were complaining, and God was reporting there. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways. They seek the Lord daily. They delight to know His ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore, that's what they are saying. Wherefore have we fasted? Say they, thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? But you taketh no knowledge. Behold, God now answered. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exalt all your labors. Verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 58. Ye fast for strife and for debate. God said, when you continue in this kind of fast, I cannot respond unto you. I will not respond unto you. Because you are fasting for yourself. So they cry. And you will see, if you check again, chapter 13b, the reason why the people were fasting, God pointed our attention to it. Said, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inhabit my holy mountain. So the purpose where they were fasting is because they want revival. They want to appear before the Lord. They want to possess the holy mountain of the Lord. They want to rejoice in His presence again. They are asking indeed here for revival. But God has a standard. God has procedures. In Psalm 15 verse 1, a question was asked. Lord, who shall abide in the tabernacle? And who shall dwell in your holy hill? And the answer, he that walketh uprightly and walketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. That's the procedure. He that walketh uprightly and walketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. The same thing in Psalm 24, verse 3. Who shall ascend into the holy hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sown deceitfully, nor make false promises, nor live in hypocrisy, nor live in falsehood. God said, these are the ones that will attain unto my holy mountain. So they sought to return back to the presence of the Lord. They want to appear before his holy hill. But God never responded unto them. That will not be our portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Because God saw their insincerity. God saw their insincerity. That was why he responded again in Isaiah chapter 59 verse 1. Behold, the hands of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquity has separated between you and your God, and your sin has hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood. Your fingers with iniquity. Your lips are spoken lies. Your tongue muttered perverseness. So, God would not respond unto them, even though they were seeking to come to his holy hill. And who are the people that God said is expecting his holy hill? Those ones that put his trust in God. Those ones that believe that God is the only one, that run unto him for revival, that want to experience revival. Those ones that look up unto God in all sincerity, even for his visitation. When we are praying for revival here, we are not just praying on our lips, but we are praying from our heart, telling God, revive us. Revive us. Has that been your prayer? Brethren, God does not speak what he's not able to do. If he has told us this year that he's going to revive us, it means he wants to revive us. Then begin to talk to them in verse 14 of that Isaiah chapter 57. And ye say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of the spiritual return of my people. Take away the stumbling block. Prepare the way. Clear the way. Clear away the stones and the rocks. Prepare the road. Rebuild the road. Rebuild your prayer altar. Rebuild your commitment. Revisit your love to God. Remove all obstacles. Remove every obstacle. Remove every obstruction. Take the stumbling block out of the way of the spiritual return of God's people. And the question here is, what do I need to do? What are these stumbling blocks that I need to remove from my life? What are these stumbling blocks that you need to remove from your life? What are these stumbling blocks that we need as a church of God to remove from our life? God was talking to them in verse 17 of that Isaiah that we read. He's talking about covetousness. Covetousness. They still worship idol. They're not satisfied. And I said, that is wickedness in the heart. Wickedness in the heart. The first thing that God expects yourself and myself to deal with is wickedness in the heart. When God was creating man in his own image, he had good intention. But when he got to chapter 6 of Genesis chapter 5, Genesis chapter 6 verse 5, God said, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great here in the world, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. So God sees our heart. Is your heart loaded with evil continually? So, I'm pleading with you, as I'm talking to myself, to remove all bitterness. These are resident in the heart. No one will see it. But you know, God knows, Satan also is aware of it. Remove all bitterness, strife, unforgiveness, covetousness, malice, and wrath. Anger, those other things that are hidden in your heart, though not exposed to any man, God is aware of it. And God is placing his hand on it this morning. That I need to work upon it. You need to work upon it. We need to remove. There was a discussion between Jesus Christ and some people, and they were complaining to him about the apostles, how they ate the showbread. And in Mark chapter 7, verse 20, Jesus Christ was saying, it's only those things that come out from a man that defies a man. And verse 21 of Mark chapter 7 says, from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries. God said, when you look up onto a woman lawfully, and you lust after the woman lawfully, you have committed the adultery already. So God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. Pastor was leading us to prayer in the morning, and was talking about the firstborn of Jesse. God said, I have rejected him. For men look at the physical appearance, but I look at the heart. And I cannot take him. I know what is going on in his heart. And just like I said, fornications, murders, theft, verse 22, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye. An evil eye. These are resident in the earth. Blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defies a man. All this wickedness come from within and defies a man. Stop saying, God sees my heart. Your attitude, your behavior is betraying you. God sees my heart. God knows. I'm just dressed like this. No, I'm just, your attitude, your behavior is this betraying you. What we see physically is not showing to us that your heart is not polluted. That your heart is right with God. That your heart, you have the right standing with God. Because it's what that is in the heart that the that comes out. So we are saying, brother, is that person that is making you annoyed? No. Anger is resident in inside of you. Deal with it. Stop complaining. Is the brother, is that person that I don't like, is that person that's troubling you? Something is resident in you. And that's anger. Brother, deal with him. Yes, well, I don't have anything against him. But I will go my own way. And you said you are forgiven. You are saying something contrary to your heart. So God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What is going on in your heart? Do you have wickedness in your heart? Please talk to God as we talk to God this morning to help us to deal with it. What are the obstacles that we have to remove? Spiritual dishonesty. How do we know this? How do we measure this? How do we notice this? Ungoverned lust. A strong desire for the things of this world. A strong desire. Lust is good when it is rightly directed. But when it is contrary to the purpose of God, then it becomes ungodly. Ungodly passion. Worldliness of various types. Sorry to say, even among Christians, we see people using lightning cream. Worldliness. Yes. We're just interested. We are interested in the things of the world. We are interested in satisfying the world. Worldliness of every form. Unrighteous thoughts. And that shows in some of us the slangs that we use, the words that we use, even in the midst of brethren. You now begin to think about it. What is going on in the heart of this man? Paul was talking to them in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourself, whether ye be in faith. Prove yourself. Know ye not yourself? How that Jesus is in you, except you are a reprobate. Are you still showing fruit of righteousness? Are you still bearing fruit of holiness? Or you are getting more carnal than spiritual? Spiritual dishonesty. You are not honest. Some even pretend and think they can deceive God. You cannot hide it from God. You cannot hide it from God. You may cover your sin and say nobody knows. You cannot hide it from God. Some people are even deceiving themselves. What are the stumbling block? Disputing and murmuring, which is the order of the day in the body of Christ. Disputing and murmuring. Paul was talking to the Philippian church. He said, even much more, when I'm not around, you have been righteous. And it is God that works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But when you get to verse 14 of Philippians chapter 2, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Do all things. Do away with it. Amplified Bible says, do all things without grumbling. I heard the one that is always grumbling about the things of God? Fault finding. Complaining against God. Questioning and doubting among ourselves. Are you one of those people that will always grumble at the instructions and the command of God? You find fault in everything that is all about God.
You know, it was so funny that the saying that Baba Adeboye said on the TV, no, I saw it on the internet, and they said, if your secretary is the one that is luring you to lust, sadly, it was Christian that criticized him more. When you see the names of people criticizing him, that why should he say that you should start it?
Murmuring about instructions given unto you. Are you interested in breaking or bending the rules? That's what you love doing. You want to break rule? You are not conforming to the rules, to the standard of God. Even some of us will have loved that some of the verses of the scripture will have been changed. They will have loved them to change. Don't wear the cloth that is meant. A lady should not wear the cloth that is meant for men. I think that's an old version. They should remove it from the scripture. Because they want to bend the rule. They want the rule to be bent. So you are there, ready to bend rules, resisting discipline. You never want to be corrected. You are so stubborn and you don't want to listen to correction. Rebellious. I just thought about it. In the early church, even when we are still young, I'm still young, when we are much younger, when your pastor scolds you, when a pastor scolds you, you will bow down your heads in tears because you will begin to wonder, how am I a source of concern for my leader that I've been called to correct? They have been calling me to correct me on what I'm doing that is not right. But now, what do we say? You argue it out. You said it is relative, Abby. It depends on the way you are looking at it. It depends on the way you are viewing it. Deviating from the truth, a deviance. You are always fault finding. Always looking for fault. God will have mercy upon us in Jesus' name. So God saw the wickedness in the heart of these people. And he said, though you are crying for revival, I will not come. They come unto us. We want to come to the land. We want to attend your holy mountain. But God said, I decided not to answer you. Then God begins to redirect them. Take away all these things. Remove the stumbling block. In verse 15 of that Isaiah that we read, God said, even though I am high and lofty, I am seated in eternity, I am holy, but one person I will always attend to is somebody that is humble and of a contrite heart. To do what? To revive such a man. I will come when I see humility in you, when I know that you are sorry for what you are doing. So God will always come to revive the humble spirit and the contrite heart. So these two attributes God is longing for. A humble spirit and a contrite heart. James chapter 4 verse 6 says, but God give more grace. I said to circle the word more. God give more grace. That means God brings the power of the Holy Spirit. He makes the power of the Holy Spirit available. Unto who? That he stand in the way of the proud, but give more grace to the humble. I'm ready, I'm willing to revive the humble. Psalm 34, verse 18. Psalm 34, verse 18. David said, the Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart and save such as be of a contrite spirit. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart and save such as be of a contrite spirit. David, as experienced God, was able to tell us also in Psalm 51, verse 17, The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. You will not send away. The only sacrifice that you require of me, that he requires of you, is to have a humble spirit and a contrite heart. And what does it mean to have a contrite heart and humble spirit? A spirit that is tender. An heart that is tender before God. An heart that is soft. Not a stony heart. An heart that is soft. Even before God. When Prophet Nathan appeared unto David and told him about his sin, the Bible says he humbled himself and poured ashes upon himself, and he began to seek the face of God for forgiveness. He was not finding fault. He was not excusing himself for the wrong that he has done. No wonder he was telling us in Psalm 51, verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sins are ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou may be justified when thou speak, and be clear when thou judge." I recognize my fault. Lord, forgive me. That was what David was saying. I have sinned against you. Lord, have mercy upon me. You are right in your judgment. You are right in what you are saying. And when you compare that to King Saul, he was there complaining. He was there making excuses for his wrongdoings. Are you like Saul? Making excuses for what you are doing that is wrong. God demands of you and me sincerity and truth. Be sincere with yourself for once. Let me be sincere with myself. That's what God required of us. God also expects a repentant heart. And that's what it means to have an humble spirit and a contrite heart. A repentant heart. A heart that sorrows for his sin. It's not happy. That experience godly sorrow that is bruised by the sorrow of his sin is unhappy with the sin full state that he finds himself. He's not rejoicing in his sin. You know, Ahab was a wicked king. But at the point in time, God sent his servant unto him. Go and tell Ahab, this and this he has done, and my judgment is coming upon him. In 1 Kings chapter 20, 1. 1 Kings 21. God even acknowledged Ahab. 1 Kings 21, verse 27. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth on his flesh and fasted. Look at it. He humbled himself before fasting. He put sackcloth. He humiliated himself. He never thought I'm a king. He humiliated himself and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. It was at least remorse for his sinful state. And in verse 28, God called the attention of Elijah. I said, look at this man. In verse 29, God said, "See thou how Ahab humbled himself before me." Even Ahab. Hey, see how Ahab humbled himself before me. Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days. So Ahab, as wicked as Ahab was, he still humbled. He recognized that God has really seen him in a secret place. And said, "Lord, have mercy upon me. I've done wickedly. I've lived in unrighteousness. I've experienced this spiritual dishonesty. There is indeed wickedness in my heart." So he did what? He trembled at the word of God. And that's what it means to have a contrite heart. A heart that trembles at his word. A heart that trembles at the word of God. Ah! Hey! The word of God is being preached. And you feel you are too familiar with God. Before The pastor quotes it, you quote it before him because you know the scriptures.
The Yoruba saying says, Sumo bani begbeje, jino so bani begbefa, aroba filo bangpa.
Move closer to a king 7 times. Take this step backward.
If you misbehave, God, the king will kill you.
God is a powerful God. God is a powerful God. You can't be too familiar with him that when his word is going, you are not moved
by his word. You are not moved.
God said, I'm looking for a heart that trembles at my word. That shake and say, God is talking.
I need to change. God said, if I see such a heart, I will come and revive. That submit himself under my rebuke. That submit to my authority. That is willing to obey my teachings. I said, no, I cannot continue my life like this. I think God is addressing me this morning. I think God is talking to me. What are those things I need to do?
In Hebrew, was saying, have you resisted this thing unto the shedding of your blood?
And you are saying, no man is perfect. That's a word from the pit of hell. No man is perfect.
How many efforts have we made that God, I want to be like you? You have declared 7 days of fasting because of this sinful nature, this sinful habit in me. Lord God Almighty, you have to deal with it.
God said, I'm looking for those men, those ones that trembles at my word. That trembles at my word.
In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2,
God was talking to some people.
Said, for all those things have my hand made, and all these things have been, says the Lord. But to this man,
will I look,
even to him
that is pure, poor, humble, humility. They're not talking about physical poverty, but somebody that does not believe that he knows everything, that he has anything.
That is pure, poor, sorry. That is humble, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word.
You know, sometimes when you pronounce a word in a particular way, it will say sink meaning.
That trembleth at my word.
God said, this one, I will look unto him. I will visit such a person. I will move in his life. I will revive such a man.
When he got to verse 5 or the same verse or the chapter of the scripture, Isaiah 66, verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord. He that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hate you. Those people that mock you, Abby. And cast you out for my name's sake. They believe they are doing good to God. And said, let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear unto you to your joy. God shall appear unto you, and to them shall be shame.
You know, two men went to the temple, just as I was telling us. Two men went to the temple to pray, the publican and the Pharisee. And one smote his chest and saying, you know I pay my tithe. You know I study your word. In fact, I pray very well. And the other one bowed down. He said, God, who am I? Please forgive me. Just have mercy upon me. The Bible says, this other man went home justified. He trembles in the presence of the Lord. He went home justified.
So God is expecting and looking for a man to pour his spirit, to pour his joy into.
He said, a man that trembles at my word.
So a heart that is tender, amenable in God's hands,
will experience his divine visitation.
A heart that is tender, malleable, in God's hands, will experience his divine visitation.
No wonder I was telling them in the Isaiah, the chapter that we read, Isaiah chapter 57, verse 18, I've seen his ways. I will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comfort unto him.
and to his mother. 19. I create the fruit of the leaves. Peace. Peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, says the Lord. I will heal him. God says, I've seen your behavior. I've seen you. I know everything about you. I see all your wrongdoings. But well, I'm here to visit you. Said, I will heal him. The Lord will heal us in the name of Jesus Christ. I will guide him. I will lead him. I will restore comfort unto him and give unto him rest. And this is the instruction. Let's open our Bible to Isaiah chapter 59, verse 20. Isaiah 59:20. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Say amen. God is going to visit us. God is going to revive us. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion to do what? To restore confidence and hope. To impart spiritual life. To put a new spirit in us. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. Verse 21. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my word which I put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, and out of the mouth of thy seed, says the Lord, from henceforth and forever. And because of that confidence, in chapter 60, verse 1, God begins to say, arise, shine, for your light is come. 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness may cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise unto thee, and his glory shall be seen in thee. His glory shall be seen in us, glory tabernacle. We shall experience his revival. Though God is high and lofty, eternal and holy, his grace and his mercy. In his grace and his mercy, he has a tender pity for the humble and the contrite heart. That's why Psalm 138, verse 6a says, though the Lord be high, yet he had respect unto the lonely. Though God is high, he had respect unto the... Because God will always bring them into fellowship with him. He will forgive. He will restore. He will build those who trust in him by his spirit and the word of grace. He promised peace, healing, guidance, comfort, and an attitude of praise to those that depend on him. Arise and shine, for the light is come. Oh yes. Arise and shine, for your light is come. Glory of the Lord is risen.
The glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is risen upon me. Arise, shine, for your light is come. Arise and shine, for your light. Upon me, arise.
Pray for grace to remove every stumbling block on the way of revival. Open your mouth and talk to God. You know those areas that you have been a stumbling block? Those acts of wickedness in the heart. Lord, remove all these stumbling blocks. By which I've been injuring your move, even at a time like this. Because if you are spoken to us, and you are going to revive us this way, you are not a tantalizer. It means you have not yet prepared ourselves for your return. Lord, take away everything that is standing as a stone, a stumbling block, an hindrance, even for your revival in our midst as a ministry. Open your mouth and pray to God. Lord, take away. David says, search me, O Lord. You know my heart. Try me. You know my thoughts. And see if there is any wickedness in me. Lead me in the way eternal. In the way everlasting. Take away every stumbling block. Take away every stumbling block in me that is hindering your move. Pray for yourself. I will not be an obstacle for the move of God in the Glory Tabernacle Ministry. I will not be the one causing delay in this revival that God has promised. Talk to God. I won't be the one causing the delay. You will not be the one causing the delay. Hey, better open your mouth and talk to God. I will not be the one hindering the spiritual return of the people of God. I will not be the one hindering the spiritual return of God's own people. Please talk to God. Please talk to God. I won't be the one hindering, causing delay in the revival that the body of Christ here is praying for. I will not be the one that will be the obstacle. I will not be the one that is hindering the move of God. I won't be the one standing in the way of the spiritual return of God's own people. Lord, take away that bitterness, that unforgiveness, that strife, that malice, that covetousness. God has fostered them. God is aware of them. Lord, take it away. That lasciviousness. Lord, take it away. That strong desire for things of this world. Lord, take them away from me. I don't want to stand as an obstruction into the way of the return of God's own people. You have told us this year that you are going to revive us. We know you meant it. I won't be the stumbling block. Hear ye the voice of the Lord. Regeboso toyeke. You can no longer continue to hinder my move. Megeboso toyeke. Magraleke sotolokoria kaya. Yariga satele. Pasa toyeke. Paliga. I'm here to revive the people. You cannot stand my way. Malegeboso toyeke yakala. Uriga sandelekesia. Ye gregegege. I'm returning. I'm returning. I'm returning to my people. You cannot stand my way. Legebo soto ya karia sete. Kauri masala kalura. Yegeles ragasata la kato. Breleke brosete. Yauri kasala katalika da setele. Mangra talika. Regegegege. Ye prasataya. I'm here with my purifying fire. To purify. To purify. Legebo soto yekelia. Mangrale sotoko magasataya. Lord, take away every spiritual indolence, every spiritual arrogance. Take them away from me. Every spiritual indolence, every spiritual arrogance, every spiritual indolence, every spiritual arrogance. Take it away from our midst, O God. We need your touch. We need you, Lord. Move of your spoken, O God. Lord, take away every instability rising today and falling tomorrow. Take them away from our lives, O God. Magra Kasataya. Lord, give me an heart that is submissive to your word, submissive to your will. Remove every stubbornness, every hard-heartedness. Take them away from my midst, O God. Remove every stubbornness. Remove every heart of rebellion. Lord, remove them. Take them away. We need you, Lord. We need you. Cause your face to shine on us again. Cause your face to shine on us again. Show us your mercy, O Lord. Visit us. Look down from heaven, O God, and visit us again. Look down from heaven, Lord, and visit us. Lord, look down. Revive us again. Will you not revive us again? Set us in a way that we should go. Prepare the path for us to walk in. Set us, O God. Return to Zion. Return to glory, Tabernacle, Mercy, Lord. Return! Return! Return, O Lord! Return! Return! In your power! In your power! Lord, return! Lord, return! Return unto us again! Lord, we need you! Return unto us again! Fill our hearts with your spirit and your word of grace! Fill us afresh, O Lord, with your spirit and your word of grace! Lord, fill us afresh! Lord, fill us afresh with your spirit and your word. Return to our midst. Return to our life. Fill us, O God, afresh with your spirit. Fill us, O God, afresh with your word of grace. Fill us, O God. Return.
Reviving spirit. Holy Spirit, come, come. Holy Spirit, come, come. Come, Holy Ghost, come.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, reviving Spirit.
minds are wandering left, right, center. If the Holy Spirit were to come under such circumstance, do you think it will favor you? There is a visitation of the Holy Spirit. When it comes, some people will die. Honestly. Some people will stumble. Some people will be disgraced. Their shame will become very evident. Do we really want the Holy Spirit? Do we really want the Holy Spirit? Or we want to continue in our spiritual indolence? The Spirit of God is holy. It will drive you to holiness. It will make you to deny ungodliness. It will make you to deny worldly lusts. Yet some of us, even in church, our hearts are still lusting. And you want the Holy Spirit? When He begins to move, will you not begin to cry? Ah, please go away. Please give us a little more time. But God has said this year is the year of His visitation. I pray that in the visitation of the Lord, you will not be caught on the wrong side. Your heart will be drawn to the Lord. He said, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Do you really desire the Holy Spirit? If you do, then when you sing that song, you will sing it from the depth of your soul. And there's no one who desires, the Bible says, anyone who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, what will happen to the person? Brethren, we need the filling of the Holy Spirit. We need the new filling. Even if you have been filled with the Holy Spirit before, you need to be filled again and again to overflowing. And now is the time. When do you want the Holy Spirit? When do you want the Holy Spirit?
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.
Wash us from all uncleanness, every filthiness of thoughts, every wickedness of actions. Please, Lord, wash us and we shall be cleansed. That your visitation will not bring wrath upon us, but will bring righteousness and healing. See, many are sick in our midst. See, many are cast down in our midst. Will you not revive us again, O Lord? Please, Lord God, arise and have mercy upon us. Be gracious unto us, O Lord. We are called by your name. We are labeled after you. We are called the glory tabernacle. And your glory should dwell in our midst. Lord, let the glory not depart. In the mighty name of Jesus, fill us anew with your Spirit, O Lord. Lord, the Spirit of judgment, that's what your Spirit is. Lord God, when you judge, you are a righteous judge. Lord, we turn our hearts to you. We turn our spirit man to you. Cleanse us, O Lord, and we shall be clean. This weekend, we come as leaders of the ministry to tarry in your presence, seeking, O Lord, that the heavens be open again to us, individually and as a ministry. We plead for your great visitation, O Lord. Come now, O Lord. Come now, O Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Lord, we bring our tithes and offerings before you again this evening. Lord, this day.